There's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. This is episode number 607, I believe. Again, there's a lot going on in the mobile studio here. So I think it's episode 607. We're definitely north of 600. So good morning. We got a great show for you. This is the Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief podcast. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher. And over the next 45 minutes, me, you, Lucas Davis, Chris Whitlock, David, Kenyon Izzo, Marcus Kyler in the Yeet Crew, Valentino, Nerman, DJ B-Sec, Kimberly from the Couch, Casually Joseph, and my Sippy Cup, newly minted squad member, the Sippy Cup, Gary Sergiatis, Kerry Tom Bishop from the Boot. We're all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day, and I will be giving you my expert opinion and analysis on each of those stories, on what it means to you as a practitioner. So how can you use this information to drive cyber risk reduction for your business stakeholders? Or if you're looking to break into the industry, believe me, you're going to get massive value from the stream, I promise you, because we are going to be covering, you know, concepts, terminology, where to get, certain pieces of information. And occasionally I ask you to gather around the campfire and I share some nugget of knowledge that I've picked up through my 20 years of experience. I've got gray in my hair. You know, it's earned. I'll just put it that way. But we got a great show for you. I'm super pumped. Before we get into it, I want you to know that I do not prepare or research for any of the show. So much for the fact, that I get up and like get going right into the show that, literally, as the intro was playing, I head over to the other side of the hotel room to turn off the AC unit because for some reason it started turning on full blast directly into the microphone about 5 seconds after I hit go live. So we are running in the business continuity mode and just straight crushing it, homie. So I hope you enjoy it and I hope you have a great time here on the program. And say what's up to everybody in chat because that's all about good times, right? That's what we're here for. All right. Now, before we get into it, I do want to say shout out and thanks to the stream sponsors, starting with my good friend, Casually Joseph, Eric Taylor, the crew over at Barricade Cyber Solutions. Listen, y'all, Barricade Cyber Solutions is dedicated to helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done. If you're getting punched in the mouth by a threat actor, if compromises is on the menu today, believe me, you're going to be happy that you've got somebody like Barricade Cyber Solutions that you can reach out to because they can help you mitigate the damage done by cyber incidents. Don't let a threat actor live rent-free in your environment. Squatters, do not apply if Barricade Cyber's in the house. BarricadeCyber.com, go check them out. They yeet threat actors for a living. All right. We got it's Worldwide Wednesday, so I'm super pumped about that. We're going to be going around the world in just a minute. If Alvin is in chat, my new friend Alvin, let me know in chat with a hashtag. That's a very specific call out. So we'll just say Alvin. If you're here, say what's up, Alvin. Guys, and if Alvin says hello, let me know because he's really, really cool. And he was pumped when I told him about Worldwide Wednesday yesterday. All right, guys. Hey, I want you all to know that every single episode of the Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief, like today, episode 607, they're all of them worth half a CPE. So don't be shy. Say what's up in chat. Grab a screenshot and, you know, take advantage of the CPEs. Listen, I will tell you because I get this question a lot. CPEs are only used as far as I know, they're only used for continuing education for maintaining cybersecurity certifications. So if you're new to the industry and you don't have a cyber cert yet, don't sweat the CPEs. I will say it doesn't hurt if you got it on your roadmap to get the SEC Plus, CISP, CISA, CISM, whatever, in the next, 12 months. Start collecting those CPEs. There's no shame in hoarding them. You're already here. Here's the funny thing. You're already doing the hard part, showing up, being part of it. So go ahead and say what's up. Now, if you are looking for something to say, why don't you do what my friends Cyber AM and Billy DP are up to, Will Lopez, with a hashtag Team SC. Hashtag Team SC in chat. It basically just means you're part of the community. Costs nothing. Means everything. Hashtag Team SC in chat. Now, if you are a first-timer here, what's up, traveler? Good to see you. If you are a first-timer here, I'm really excited to let you know, if you engage with chat, hashtag first-timer, we have a special sound effect, which I have to do manually, and we have a special squad emote that the squad members, there's thousands of them, will shower down on you. And it'll be awesome. So if you're a first timer here, drop a hashtag first timer in chat. Now, I'm going to do the delete me read at the mid roll because we are going to be going around the world. And that is always presented by ACI Learning. Guys, let me tell you really quickly. I love it. I love doing the around the world. So check this out. We're going to go around the world. It's going to be wicked epic. And then we're going to do all the other stuff. Listen. Guys, really quickly, Worldwide Wednesday, what we're about to rip into is presented by IT Pro from ACI Learning, the international online training solution that professionals in audit, cyber, and IT turn to for binge-worthy content. And you can get 30% off right now using my promo code SimplyCyber30 to get 30% off your first month or first year. I know some of you might have thought that the coupon promo code was SippyCup, but it is actually not Sippy Cup. It is Simply Cyber 30. So go check it out. If you've used IT Pro, you know how good it is. Daniel Lowry, Sophie Goodwin, all those folks. Kathy Chambers, obviously. Kathy's always wonderful. We'll give Kathy the old wow emote. Let's just spend a minute before we go around the world. I just want to say what's up to everybody in here. Twitch saying what's up. Sorry for bothering you. I want to offer promotion of your channel. Okay. Twitch is interesting, man. Twitch is like all up in the space. Okay, so let me break it down for you. Evans Y, hashtag Team SC, he knows what's up. Space Taco's obviously a regular, knows what's up. We have our first-timer, Jenna Powers. Jenna Powers, welcome to the party, pal. Everybody, if you are a squad member, dig into that squad emo tray. Look for the John McClane and drop it in chat just like that for Jenna Powers. Jenna, thanks for being here. I hope you got a great show. We do something fun every single day before we get into the news or, in the mid-roll. And today is Worldwide Wednesday. So do me a favor, y'all. Let's get ready. Mods, please prepare yourself for the inevitable. Here we go. All right, guys. Every single Wednesday, we demonstrate just how diverse and eclectic and, just internationally awesome the Simply Cyber community is. It's really my favorite activity of the week. I'm going to take a slug of this coffee because I'm going to have to get limber. Careful, guys. I might have to get up and do some lunges. Hold on. Let me get some sippy cup coffee, and then we're going to get into it. Oh, yeah. Good. All right, guys. When I say it, please let me know where you are, and we're going to see if in 2 minutes we can go around the world. Here we go. All right, here we go, guys. Where are you? Let's go around the world. Oh, hold on. Hold on. We have our first... Hold on. I mean, keep it coming because mods are catching it, but we're having our first audio issue, of course. Thank you. Let's do this. All right, ready? Let's see if this works. Oh yes, now I can control the audio. All right, so you should be listening to Around the World by Daft Punk. I've changed the audio. Let's go. Where are we at? Okay, so I see Applewood, Colorado. So United States is online. Hotlanta, Casey Comer. I love it, Casey. Awesome. Phil Stafford's in here. St. Pale, Minnesota. Romania. Adrian bringing Romania online. I love it. Where's my Romania at? Romania. Boom. Poland is in the house. What's up? Europe is haughty online. Saudi Arabia bringing on the kingdom. Good morning. What's up, Virginia, West Virginia? Philly, brotherly love. Great commercial. Niagara Falls, Canada bringing on the Maple Leafs. I love it. Oh, Philly's in here. Jackson, Mississippi. England, UK, across the pond. Very nice. Love it, love it, love it. Houston, Sheree Slam and DJ B-Sec high five. And Triple D in the Philippines. Way to go, Triple D. Thank you for bringing Pacific Rim and Asia online. The PR down there. Raymond Roman, Flow Rider, Patrick. What's up, Peru? Chris Cahall. Bringing on Peru. We have South America online. Yes, sir. What's up, San Diego? What's up, RDU? Hey, San Diego. Doug, I'm feeling that West Coast time zone, friend. Abdullah from Afghanistan. Yes, sir. Let's get Afghanistan on. Come on now. Where's Australia at, y'all? Peru, Romania, Saudi, Poland. I've got you. Turkey and Sicily. Obviously, Tom's on the boot. All right. And Turkey, Lurky, Goo, Turkey, Lurky, Giggle. Buenos dias, Mexico's in the house. Thank you, Mexico. Good to see you up in here. All right, where you at? Where you at? Come on, Ethiopia, Medin G's bringing on Africa. The DR is in the house. If this resolution... Oh, I can click DR. Nailed it. I see Australia. Where's Australia? Where is it? Space Taco said she saw Australia. Where are you, Australia? Are we going to get this? Are we going to get this? Come at me, bro. Bangladesh is in the house. Kimberly can fix it from the couch saying Australia. Yes, sir. All right. Boom, baby, boom. And that is how we do it. If Alvin is in chat, I absolutely love it. Chechia is in here. All right, guys. I can't find Chechia right now. But hey, guys, I do want to tell you, like, way to go, all of us. Let's take a victory lap. I usually reserve that sound effect for people getting jobs, but guys, we just went around the world. I see Asia, South America, Australia, Africa, Europe, North America. High five to all of you. Hashtag Team SC. This is my favorite part, guys, because we are international. This isn't just some, like, you know, myopic view. Chat, you're representing. I love it. Swiss Tech, Easton, PA. I'm very familiar with Easton, PA. Is the crayon factory up in there or the Crayola Museum? All right, guys. I hope you had fun with that. I certainly did. Let me know if you can hear the pod when we turn that on. But, guys, as great as it was, congratulations to all of you. El Salvador, I see you. All right, guys. Coffee cup cheers. Well done. But now it's time to get to work, so let's do that. Yeah, Freaky Bob's representing all of Australia. Thank you, Freaky Bob. Oh, yeah, you know what, guys? Squad members, the Oprah emote totally is on brand for this right here. I love it. I love it. I love this community. So good. Okay, guys, do me a favor. Sit back, relax, and let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over all of us in an awesome wave. I will see all of you, including Jenna Powers, first-timer, at the mid-roll.
From the CISO series, it's cybersecurity headlines.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I'm Sean Kelly. Iranian nationals charged with hacking U.S. companies and agencies. On Tuesday, four Iranian nationals were indicted in a Manhattan federal court for conducting cyber espionage campaigns against the U.S. Treasury and State Departments, defense contractors, and two New York-based companies. The men are accused of using spear phishing and other techniques to harvest hundreds of thousands of account credentials. The threat actors remain at large, but their U.S.-based assets have now been frozen, and the State Department is offering a reward of up to $10 million for any information about the men or their employers. They each face up to 5 years in prison for computer fraud conspiracy and up to 20 years in prison for each count of wire fraud.
All right, so you know what? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You know, whoever these Iranian nationals are, first of all, it's worth noting that Iran has kind of, not kind of, like, Iran is, I would say, they're not a low-key advanced persistent threat actor. Like, Russia, China, United States, let's not pretend that the U.S.'s capability isn't perceived as an APT in other countries. But there's, like, you know, there's like your first tier level cyber, you know, nation state powers effectively. And then beneath that is like another tier. And Iran has been coming on over the last couple of years. Muddy Waters is another threat actor group out of Iran that I believe does like mostly more espionage type stuff. So they do have a level of sophistication. Basically, what I'm saying is Iran isn't out there on the dark web like buying 0 days and then, you know, launching them out of the trunk of their car and going home and turning on CNN to see where it landed. Like, they are doing targeted operations. So they hit some U.S. companies using spear phishing, guys. I mean, they're not inventing novel techniques. This isn't a Rowhammer attack. Like, they sent a spear fish. They probably used AI to craft it. It's wicked easy to spear fish. Like, just so we all know, like, phishing is sending mass emails and hoping, you know, you get a percentage of people to fall for it. Spear phishing is targeting like an individual. Like, I send it to DJ BSEC and I'm like, DJ BSEC, here's 20% off new turntables, like, click here now. And BSEC's like salivating. He's like, he doesn't even pay attention. So, like, that's the deal. So, for these Iranian cats to spear phish and get initial access, it is interesting. When the Department of Treasury and I would assume Department of Justice, they said the State Department. Yeah, see how it actually says Department of Justice? Department of Justice is the one who writes indictments, just FYI. All the federal agencies kind of work together, but Department of Justice is where, you know, I guess the rubber meets the road, for lack of a better term. I'm curious, though, for them to offer a reward of $10 million, right? Typically, you see indictments, you know, often enough, but you don't see rewards of that high caliber. We also saw a recent one of a reward for that level. I think it was $5 million for leading to arrests of people in either Lockbit or Alfie, like the top tier ransomware threat actor group. So, so what I'm saying here is whoever they targeted in whatever ops they're running, this Iranian nationals, clearly it is disruptive. One thing that I've learned over the last couple of days talking to some of the like the brightest minds in cybersecurity with the TV show, these foreign nationals, like, they don't like at the nation level, they don't necessarily mind if, you know, you commit cyber crimes and stuff like that. But when you start pissing off like NATO countries and like specifically the United States and the federal United States takes notice of you, like the Eye of Sauron snaps on you, they don't like that kind of heat. Like, the heat is not good, right? So it's like, you know what it is? It's like the equivalent of like robbing a bank and like, you know, four of the bank robbers are laying low and one of them goes out and buys like a Maserati and a mink jacket and is just driving around like doing like 90 in a school zone. It's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, too much heat. So anyways, the TLDR here is this doesn't affect you and me. Once upon a time in 1979, not a Psyduck. Like, we're not like changing the way we're making our coffee this morning because of this story, but this is noteworthy simply because, the United States is going a little twisted sister on Iran right now. They're not going to take it anymore. Okay. That's a really deep 80s cut. You youngs, Casually Joseph, go ask the Wayback Machine what Twisted Sister is. All right, guys. TLDR, way to go, United States. We continue to, indict. Final thing I'll say is, like, you might say, like, oh, we don't have extradition treaties with Iran, so what are we going to do? These nationals, they're now confined to certain parts of the world. If they travel into a NATO country, they're going to get scooped up, okay? And there's $10 million on their head. Right. So people who may be inclined to want to get a little cheddar, you know, turn them in, you know, like, you know, your wife's cousin. Right. That's it. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Thank you, mods. This is for everybody in chat. There we go. We're not going to take it. This is a live look in at the Department of Justice talking to Iranian cyber threat actors. All right, let's go.
Siemens is working to fix device affected by Palo Alto firewall bug. Siemens is rushing to fix a bug we reported last week on Cybersecurity Headlines that is affecting its RuggedCom APE-1808 devices configured with Palo Alto Networks virtual next-gen firewalls. The bug in question is a maximum severity zero-day command injection vulnerability that affects multiple versions of PAN-OS. Palo Alto said a growing number of attacks are leveraging the public proof-of-concept exploit code to deploy a novel Python backdoor. Siemens Advisory references Palo Alto's recommendation to disable Global Protect Gateway and Global Protect Portal, which they point out are disabled by default in RuggedCom APE 1808 deployments.
All right. Oh my God, hold on. I'm just seeing this in chat right now. Matt Johnson had his first cyber interview yesterday. First of all, Matt, epic winning and went very well. I quoted the good doc by saying we should call it cyber resiliency and they loved it. Yes, sir. You know what, dude? The thing is, if you just normalize it, if you don't treat it like a thing, just normalize it. And eventually you'll go to Black Hat and the booth will say like, you know, we're talking cyber resiliency here and like will have won. Flaming Donkey as an APT and cyber resiliency. These are the norms we're trying to push into the market. All right, looking at this story, guys. Hey, I got to tell you right now, this story is about Siemens. Siemens makes like lots of technologies. They make healthcare technology. They make operational technology. You see them in industrial control systems all the time. But what I want to point out here is the real darling of the ball here, the bell of the ball, is this Palo Alto firewall. Listen to me when I'm telling you this. This, as much as like this Iranian national story was like, whatever, that's interesting. Next, like this is like a 30-second news clip, and then you just go on back eating your eggs. This one right here, if you are running Palo Alto in your environment and you are vulnerable, like if it's a version of PAs vulnerable to this, you absolutely, like I, at this point, like you need, you're either compromised already and you don't, and you know it, or you don't know it and you are compromised. But like, this is one of those ones where I would legit say, pause the stream. As much as I love having you here and hashtag Team SC, this Palo Alto thing is a bit out of control. It is, there's two things going on. One, it's, you can find it using Shodan and Census and other tools like that. Secondly, threat actors have diversified their roles in the cyber kill chain. We no longer, this is like a little bit more of, you know, okay, but this is important. Is this camera angle going to work? No, bro. Hold on one second. This is important. I feel very, oh my God, what are we doing here? There we go. I feel very strongly about this. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to take the time to do this. Do, 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 do. Hold on. There we go. Okay. And just bear with me that's all janked up. Okay, let me stand over here. Listen to me. This Palo Alto, threat actors have diversified their roles in the cyber kill chain. So now there's threat actors specializing in initial access and exploiting boxes and then turning around and selling that access to other threat actors who are going to take actions on objectives. In some instances, they diversified to the point where initial access brokers handed over to a persistence expert who uses that access to bury 1, 2, 3, 4 layers deep of persistence. That way, when you barricade cyber, finds a persistence mechanism and eliminates it, they still have 2, 3 more entries back into the environment. Then they turn around and sell it to whoever, threat actor, to do info stealing or ransomware or whatever. This Palo Alto issue is a major issue, okay? So again, I don't typically promote like leaving the stream because I love having y'all here, but if you are at all in scope of this Palo Alto bug, you have to take action. I'm telling you, it's legit. Okay, BSEC has actually shared this right here. This is a value add to the community. I'm going to drop a link in chat. Okay, this link in chat, does that work? Okay, so this link in chat I just dropped basically will tell you if what you need, like if what needs patched and if you need to be patched, okay, and your current patch OS level and all that stuff, okay? So get on this. You know, the fact that Siemens is working on a fix for devices, that just means I don't even understand how this works. I mean, do they have like a PA kind of integrated into their thing? Okay, so RuggedCom APE 1808. So apparently Siemens has some kind of like pre-built assembled solution that you just probably buy as like a Pelican case and you drop it into an environment and it has this PA built into it. I guess actually, hey, you know what? This is another interesting thing. I've been thinking of this PA story as basically, you know, you've got a rack and stack Palo Alto, but you got to remember there are instances where vendors who are like system integrators have purchased the pieces of a solution, integrated them into one stack, and then sell it as a solution, like a turnkey solution that you just drop into an environment. So if you think you have like remote facilities, like up in, you know, Tulik, or Alaska or Thule, Greenland or something, where you're not really going to fly, you just like send one person with a solution. So the PAs could be there too. So just be mindful of that. Jenny Housley, you okay there? All right. So just be careful of that. Anyways, long story short, if you got these PAs in there, get on them.
Russian hackers claim cyber attack on Indiana water plant.
Oh, get JMod in chat, please. JMod.
The Cyber Army of Russia posted a video on its Telegram channel showing how they hacked systems of the Tipton wastewater treatment plant. Tipton provides the city of Tipton and surrounding areas with electric power, water, and wastewater collection and treatment. An Indiana official confirmed that the plant indeed suffered a cyber attack on Friday evening. Tipton's general manager, Jim Ankrum, said, quote, TMU experienced minimal disruption and remained operational at all times, end quote.
Nice.
Security research firm Mandiant recently reported that the Cyber Army of Russia has ties to the Russian state actor Sandworm, which was responsible for a separate attack on a water facility in Muleshoe, Texas, that caused a tank to overflow.
All right, couple things here. One, just to remind everybody, Justin Gold, aka JMod in chat, resident water critical infrastructure expert. So JMod, if you have thoughts on this story, please chime in. I think JMod's actually at the beach right now with a busted wheel, from I don't know, flexing with a cooler or something. Anyways. Russian hackers, the Russian cyber army, which, by the way, when I first heard that, there's a Ukrainian IT army that is basically a crowdsource, like you can volunteer. It's kind of like anonymous. But this cyber army of Russia, actually, they are saying is affiliated with Sandworm, which is kind of weird because Sandworm is much more, I want to say, Sandworm is Russia's like A-team, and we've talked about them a lot lately, but the thing is, like, Sandworm typically isn't trying to be loud or noisy. Sandworm, in the experiences that I'm aware of, is much more espionage-based and much more, like, you know, ninja-like. So, for the cyber army of Russia to be kind of noisy and posting videos on Telegram of them doing things, that's more of, I don't want to call it a terror attack, but clearly they're trying to scare people with, oh, look, we can manipulate your water. We can affect your critical infrastructure. And Telegram, everyone's got Telegram. It's easy to spread on social media. I mean, not that Telegram's really social media, but you get what I'm saying. It's easier to spread. So I don't understand how it's tied to Sandworm unless it's the TTPs and the behaviors. But it would be interesting if Russia was like, hey, listen, Sandworm guys and ladies, I know you're working really hard on busting into these like critical systems. Why don't you guys like, you know, on Fridays, like for Fridays from noon to five, you're allowed to just like hack on whatever you want and be loud and obnoxious about it. You know what I mean? Like how Google Labs lets Google employees just kind of like tinker with pet projects on Fridays. Like I'm speculating, right? Tinfoil hat. I don't know if that's what Russia does. But it's kind of got vibes of that. Here, tinfoil hat, Jerry, because, you know, it's peculiar. The one thing I would say is, first of all, Tipton Municipal Utilities Group, specifically the general manager, Jim Ankrum, way to crush it, Jim Ankrum. No, he's like, the facilities experienced minimal disruption. Jim Tipton basically flexing on Russia right there. Like, no, we're good. Like, cute trick, Cyber Russia Army, but we're good here. Move along. So I'm glad to see the cyber resiliency, thank you very much, of organizations to persevere through compromise and effectively get on. That doesn't mean that That doesn't mean that critical infrastructure like water and wastewater treatment plants aren't using old technology and are vulnerable. But this is one example where they're demonstrating, hey, we've thought through it somewhat. We've got, you know, pretty good controls in place, and we're able to kind of pivot and get back to what we're doing. So way to go, and be mindful. I would say as a practitioner, it may be worth your time. Certainly, I will look into this to check out Cyber Army of Russia simply as an APT to understand what their motivations are and where they're going. If you work in water, okay, JMOD, when you get back from vacation, bro, like you'll obviously be interested in this. But if you work in water, if you're going to interview for a job in water, definitely put this on your radar. I'm telling you right now, I know this is probably like only one person in chat, but like if you were to go interview right now for a job at like wastewater, water treatment, anything like that, even honestly, like municipality type stuff, and you mentioned this in the interview, like it would be very interesting to the interviewer if they were like a legit serious cyber practitioner, because this, everyone knows Sandworm. This is like a fork of Sandworm, and they're doing something very specific, and there's been a pattern of it, right? The water treatment and water plants have been hit like I'd say like a dozen have been hit in the last 6 months. So it is not a one-off thing. It's a pattern. Okay, let's go.
Microsoft pulls fix for Outlook bug behind ICS security alerts. Microsoft has rolled back a fix for a known Outlook issue that was causing errant security alerts when opening ICS calendar files. Upon opening ICS files saved to their devices, Microsoft 365 users were seeing warnings that Microsoft Office has identified a potential security concern and that this location may be unsafe. The issue stemmed from a December update that addressed an Outlook information disclosure vulnerability. As a temporary workaround, users can use a registry key to disable the false notifications. However, it's important to note that this fix will also stop security prompts for all other potentially dangerous file types.
Yeah, what a... Stop it. Stop it right now. Okay, so hold on. This is dumb. Do I have Anton Dobson?
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Okay. So first of all, let's talk about this objectively, and then I will dump on Microsoft for a second, right? And you Youngs, Casually Joseph, JMod, the official Youngs of the crew, would it be dunking? Am I dunking on Microsoft or dumping on Microsoft? Let me know in chat. I feel like I would say dumping on them, but I feel like the Youngs are going to say dunking. Okay, so Microsoft pulls a fix. So Microsoft fixed something in Outlook. And it caused an issue where if you open an ICS, which is basically like a calendar link, like you sign up on someone's Calendly and you get like an ICS file, someone sends you an invite and it's an ICS file. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen often enough that this would be affecting a lot of people. And you know what? Sweet. You would get this alert. You can see it on stream right now. You would get this alert saying, hey, something, potential security concern. You know what I want? I want Carl to see this and call me. I want to be able to send a note out to my organization and say, hey, listen, there is a small issue that will be corrected where you may get this. If you do get this, you know, question where the link came from. Do you know who sent it? Do you trust them? Move forward. Okay, that's it. And it sounds like they're going to get this fixed, so the issue will be resolved rather quickly. Now, let us explain why this is arguably the dumbest workaround I've ever heard. Okay, and no shade being thrown to whoever reported on this. Like, I'm glad, you know, sometimes you need a workaround. So I'm not crapping on that. Like, sometimes you do need a workaround. Okay. Because maybe your help desk is getting swamped because everybody's calling about this potential security concern. Okay, this is the dumbest thing I've heard. You can insert a registry key to basically prevent this pop-up from popping up at all. Okay, so for the couple machines that are gonna get an ICS and get this false positive alert, you're gonna disable this alert completely. So then spearfish attack, phishing attack, all the malicious attacks come in, and you've nerfed your own defensive capabilities? For what? This isn't impacting business operations. This is an uptick in trouble ticket count. And if anything, the help desk is loving it because their turnaround time on tickets is going to be epic because they know the answer to this one. So it's like, oh man, I crushed like 500 tickets today with an average time of like 30 seconds a ticket. Winning. Dude, listen, in all honesty, all seriousness, do not ever disable a security control unless there's a very good reason. Like impacting business operations potentially might be the only reason to, like, you know, stick a workaround in, okay? Sometimes we move stuff out of the environment, we move stuff in, whatever. That's fine. If you do network segmentation and you somehow cut off a massive business workflow or business critical application or whatever, something that's costing the business money, yeah, roll it back, shut it down, whatever you got to do. This right here, what are you talking about? Ugh. You know what this is the equivalent of? This is the equivalent of like turning off alerts on your phone that like somebody's like logged into your account. It's like, oh, no. Ain't nobody got time for that. Jesus. I'm sorry. I don't typically get all frothed up, but this is ridiculous. So stupid. Shut it off. What are we doing, bro?
And now a word from our sponsor, Veracode. Are you truly listening to both your security and development teams? Make informed decisions with Veracode. Their developer-friendly security tools integrate with your existing tech stack to secure code from the start. Bridge the gap between security and development for more efficient operations and stronger defenses. Visit veracode.com, that's V-E-R-A-C-O-D-E.com, for a collaborative approach to security.
Oh, you got to snort, chortle, whatever. Chris works. Hey, the deadbolt is squeaking. Yeah, let's remove that from the door. That fixed the problem. No more squeaking. Oh my God, so funny. All right, y'all. Guys, I want to thank all of you for being here. I hope you're getting value from the stream. Jenna Powers, let me know how your first time experience is. Guys, shout out and love to all of you. If you're getting value from the stream, hit that like button in chat on YouTube. It goes a long way to helping others discover the channel. As simple as that. Shout out to Barricade Cyber, Anti-Siphon Training, and Delete Me. Really quick, let me tell you a little bit about Delete Me, guys. Got to do the read. Where is it? Hold on 1 second. Give me a second. I've got a lot going on here. I'm all frothed up, you know what I'm saying? There's Delete Me. Here's this. Let's do our three-quarter thingy. Okay, so check it out, guys. Let me just tell you really quickly about Delete Me, please. As you know, guys, I'm a very public person. I have hot takes. I just dunked on Microsoft Outlook for the most ridiculous workaround in history. But I'm hyper aware of my safety and security. I have a family. I have children. I have a wife I love, and I want to protect them, right? It's very easy to find my personal information online, which totally sucks. The data's just hanging out on the internet. People can find it, and that can have real-life consequences. Like I said, recently, someone threatened to swat me, which was really concerning. I want to tell you guys about Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people databases on the web, and in the process, actually helps prevent ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. And when you sign up, you just tell Delete Me what data you want deleted, and they go off and take care of it. Literally, I just told them, take everything and make it go away. And they absolutely did it, which was super, super epic. Every month you get a personalized report showing what they found, where they found it, and what they removed or in the process of removing. So some of the information, it takes a minute to get rid of. And the cool thing is Delete Me does all the hard work. I love that part because I honestly don't have time. Frankly, I don't have a lot of time to be dinking around with going to individual sites and asking them via email to remove my stuff. So do me a favor, guys. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at the special discount for Simply Cyber listeners. Basically, the 461 of you who are here and the other 2,000 are listening on replay, you can get 20% off today off a Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and use the promo code SimplyCyber at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and enter code SimplyCyber checkout. That is joindeletteme.com/simplycyber. This is what it looks like. I'm showing it on stream if you're watching right now. This is what it looks like. Dude, I'm telling you guys, literally, it takes like 5 minutes to sign up, and then maybe it takes them like 3 weeks to get back to you after they grind through the internet and pull everything down. It's a cool service. I like it. I'm going to continue to use it. I'm going to use it for my family. My mother-in-law is getting on it, so that's what's up. Thank you very much. Delete me. Also, guys, really quick, want to say shout out to Anti-Siphon Training for sponsoring the stream, as always. Anti-Siphon Training is disrupting the traditional cybersecurity training industry by providing high-quality, cutting-edge education to everyone, regardless of financial position, offering their students the opportunity to learn skills, practice what is taught, and engage with their community in a fun and inclusive way. There's hacking through, or wading through logs, Wade Wells. He'll be on Simply Cyber Live in a hot minute. Guys, antisiphontraining.com. Go check it out. Get your la-la-la-las on now. All right, really quick, the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. De Niro, who I believe is Devin Dubois, has the baton. De Niro, are you in chat? De Niro, are you in chat? Let's see. De Niro is in chat. All right, hey, listen really quickly, guys. The Simply Cyber Community Challenge is this epic, epic challenge that we've been doing. Jenny, let me know how many days. I think it's like close to 200 days. I'll make it really quick. If you want to blow up your Simply... If you want to blow up your professional network on LinkedIn, it's very simple. Go on LinkedIn, search for the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge. De Niro is about to tag somebody. Go find Devin Dubois' post yesterday. Connect with Devin. Connect with the people in the comments. I know that was a lot to drop on your head, but listen to me. You will build a professional network. You will supercharge your LinkedIn feed. It's epic. Space Tacos with the squad members.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, Space Tacos. Not only IT, Robert Linares, Tuki Vang, not a deep fake. New squad members, recently minted. So thank you all very much. It's very cool. really quick, before we get back into the news, our first-timer, Jenna Powers, chiming in chat. I'm learning so much, and I wish I could have come across you 3 years ago when I graduated with a master's in InfoSec. No experience. I think it would have been miles ahead than I am now. Yeah, Jenna Powers, that's what we're doing here. Welcome to the party. I wish you'd found us sooner too, but guess what? It doesn't matter. This is day one. You're here now. Let's go, right? No time like the present to start moving forward. All right, guys. Starting to lose my voice, which is not cool. Let's get back into the news. We gotta grind. I've got a meeting at 9:15 Eastern.
South Korean officials discover defense contractor hacks. On Tuesday, South Korean authorities warned that North Korean threat actors Lazarus and Daryl and Kim Suki have been leveraging vulnerabilities in the networks and their subcontractors to exfiltrate data. Earlier this year, South Korean defense agencies conducted special inspections to better secure critical networks. The operation discovered multiple companies had been compromised since late 2022, but were unaware of the breaches prior to the inspections. Authorities recommend that defense companies and their subcontractors implement network security segmentation, periodic password resets, two-factor authentication for critical accounts, and blocking foreign IP addresses.
Okay, couple things here. One, I guess I will never escape the sippy cup. My throat is like kind of dry, and it's just people chiming in about take a sip from your sippy cup, Jer. Okay, so yesterday's news, we saw North Korea was involved in like development of a couple Amazon animated shows. Today, we're talking about North Korea hacking South Korean defense contractors. Now, what's particularly interesting, and I've got a spicy, completely unsubstantiated hot take in a second here. First of all, police reports are getting into this. So way to go, law enforcement. Yes, sir. Now, most of the time we think of Lazarus Group when we think of North Korean hackers, right? Lazarus, responsible for the Bangladesh bank heist, responsible for the Axie Infinity Ronin Bridge attack. so many great, and I say this with hat tip to their technical skill set. Not that I support crime, but Lazarus, very advanced, very sophisticated, very good at what they do. Now, here's the interesting thing. South Korean defense contractors are being hacked. Now, here's what I think. I believe that North Korea suspects that South Korea, I mean, they're literally at their doorstep. Imagine, if you will, that you were, you know, you had like a certain belief or whatever, and your neighbor directly next door to you has a completely different view, and you see them like partnering with other members in the community or neighborhood that are not of the same philosophies as you, you might get concerned. So I think, oh, Sniper Runs the Navy got a job. I didn't see the post, but yes, sir. Thank you, Space Tacos, for the super chat. And congratulations, Sniper Runs the Navy. I love it. So here's what I think happens, okay? I think North Korea is troubled and concerned that South Korea is up to shenanigans. Not too long ago, I'd say like maybe within the last 18 months, the United States had run some type of like military exercise in South Korea. We had speculated that it was a bit of a flex on North Korea, that like the United States is on your doorstep. So I think North Korea has like basically released the hounds, if you will, with anyone who has cyber capabilities to go attack South Korean defense contractors, basically to collect intel on what the hell, sorry, Kennedy, on what the heck South Korea is up to, if I had to guess. Also, speculative hot take, I kind of want to say that I think, and this is completely unsubstantiated, that Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, the supreme, you know, heavenly whatever, he may be offering like, you know, nice accommodations or a steak dinner or something for anyone who brings information, because Lazarus Group, like that's their job. Like they work, you know, for the government doing this stuff. But then Anduril Group, Kim Suki, different threat actors, different TTPs, different techniques are all being deployed. It's like basically like a North Korean Avengers Assemble situation where it's like, get in there and get after it. We need information now. So the speed with which they're moving, a little bit of their recklessness with which they're moving would indicate to me that North Korea is, for whatever reason, concerned that there is some issue that they need to find out about post-haste. So that's what's up. Obviously, if you support North Korea, if you support an American defense contractor that happens to have personnel and, you know, projects and engagements in South Korea, or, you know, you collaborate with South Korea, you may want to be mindful of this. Obviously, there are TTPs on MITRE ATT&CK that you can look at, but you got to remember too, Lazarus Group does have, you know, 0 days and exploits and stuff like that. According to the story briefly on what I skimmed, it looks like they're just taking advantage of like poor network configurations and, you know, crappy credentials and stuff like that. So all your low hanging fruit. So don't be shy. Get the basics in place and then execute.
New research discovers vulnerability in archived Apache project. The vulnerability has been uncovered in an archived Apache project called Cordova App Harness that could lead to software supply chain attacks. Attackers could use techniques such as typo squatting, repo jacking, and dependency confusion to insert vulnerable dependencies in open source software. Ultimately, the issue could lead to execution of arbitrary code on the host machine where a vulnerable application is deployed. Researchers highlight the risk associated with dependencies on archived open source projects that may not receive regular security updates. They recommend conducting regular security code scans, avoiding use of deprecated projects, following best practices for configuring dependencies, and providing security education to developers.
Okay, this is pretty straightforward. Just because a piece of technology is archived or sunset, this is like legacy tech is the bane of cyber professionals. We have many banes. Yes, Batman. Like, I'm doing my best Bane Batman impression. Yes, Batman. I expect you to run legacy technology. Like, listen, dude. Just because they archive it doesn't mean that it automatically gets removed from technologies that integrated it. We live in an like open source software world where people pull libraries in. I'm not saying developers are lazy. I'm just saying if you could do something an easy way or you could do something a wicked hard way, which way are you choosing? If you could finish your work by 3 and go hit happy hour San Diego tacos, right? Or you could work till 8 o'clock and miss all the happy hour fun time. And at the end of the day, you still have the same code. The business doesn't look at your source code and they're like, oh, look how many, look how well run this, you know, conditional loop is. They don't give a damn. They just want the code to run and do what it's supposed to do. So TLDR, you're gonna do the easy way. So the key here is that just because things are archived doesn't mean they're taken out of your environment. In fact, when they're archived, that should be a flag to be like, holy shh, we should probably go investigate where this is, because it will never receive updates. This is like end of life operating systems. Like, guess what? Spoiler alert: Windows 7 isn't getting security patches, right? Like, Larry Bird's not walking through that door. Security patches are not walking through that door. A little New England deep cut, Rick Pitino meltdown deep cut. All right, so anyways, shout out Log4j if you need a case study on supply chain security software vulns.
Cops may soon use AI to generate reports from body cams.
Yeah.
Taser maker and police contractor Axon has announced a new product called Draft One, which leverages OpenAI's GPT-4 large language model to generate police reports from body cam audio. Critics are quick to point out that this use of AI could potentially...
All right. Looks like Flakinator? De Niro? If nobody has taken the baton... If nobody's taking the baton, Flakinator is interested. man, I don't know why that Bane joke cracks me up, but I'm still giggling about it.
Lead to baseless accusations due to hallucination and further institutional ills like racial bias.
Yeah,
further, because police aren't AI experts, they may not be well positioned to spot issues with AI outputs. Axon asserts that its model has been adjusted to ensure it can't go off the rails. Axon's CEO Rick Smith points out, quote, if an officer spends half their day reporting and we can cut that time in half, we have an opportunity to potentially free up 25% of an officer's time to be back out policing, end quote.
Okay, so I agree with this in principle, okay? Hold on. Can we, yeah. Okay, so I agree with this in principle. The idea is that we have all this body cam footage, way more than a human can possibly consume. And we want to use AI to basically comb through it and develop reports. Here's my thing. Like, basically right now, the concern is that it's going to generate reports and, you know, APBs. We got an APB on a Ghostface killer. Listen, there's a problem right now. AI makes mistakes, okay? AI makes mistakes. Mistakes. You can see here, I gave one at my talk just recently. Where's the guy? Basically, people are getting arrested because technology is mistakenly identifying them as somebody who committed a crime. And when the person who gets arrested says to the police officer, hey, I didn't like this guy right here, wrongly accused, right? He didn't do anything wrong. And by the way, there's like an overwhelming bias towards African Americans. So, you know, that sucks on top of it all. So you get this situation where people are detained and they're saying, I didn't do anything. And the police are like, of course you didn't, liar. And you're like, what the hell? And then it takes 24, 36 hours for them to, for somebody to go look at the actual original footage and then look at the person and be like, oh yeah, that's not you. Sorry, like hashtag sorry. You know what sorry doesn't get? Sorry doesn't get it if, like, you know, you got fired from your job because you didn't show up. Sorry doesn't work if you get fired from your job because, like, when you call your work and you're like, I can't come to work today. Why? Because I'm in jail. Did nothing wrong. Okay. So there is stigma, there is impact. So the AI situation here, that's the concern. I do want to say the following, though, okay? The hallucinations are going, are becoming less and less frequent, right? ChatGPT-3 was like way too early. There were hallucinations all over the place. 4's been better. 5's coming around the corner. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I am saying with the amount of body cam footage out there, we did a story not too long ago where it's like not even being looked at. So in order to handle that load of data, I do think we need AI to help. I don't think you need AI to move forward into the adjudication phase. What I think AI needs to do is comb through 700 hours of footage and then timestamp for a, you know, analyst or a cop or something to go back and look at the 17 different time marks. So the cop can go through 700 hours of footage in 20 minutes, right? And only look at those key things and then adjudicate on that. Yes, this person, no, that person, right? So I think that this, here's the deal, guys. There's so much freaking data out there. We need AI to help deal with it because it's just too much for human consumption, all right? But I mean, this is a real thing, right? I mean, also, it's easy for me to say because I'm not in the population, the marginalized population that's actually being wrongfully accused, wrongfully arrested. But I'm just saying, I think there is a way forward here. And not just with body cam footage and law enforcement stuff. I think with anything, like any sheer volume of data, I say the same thing for SecOps. Guys, there's so much freaking telemetry coming into Sims now that if you can use AI to just do like a tier zero triage, that helps an analyst not burn out and actually go look at the right stuff. Okay.
CompTIA supports DoD's efforts to bolster cyber skills. On Tuesday, IT certification and training organization CompTIA announced that 8 of its certifications are included in the U.S. Department of Defense's efforts to create a more diverse workforce to protect the nation's information and infrastructure. The certifications cover 31 work roles ranging from technical support and network operations to cyber forensics, cyber policy and strategy, systems development, and management. CompTIA's certifications are vendor neutral, internationally recognized, and accredited by the American National Standards Institute.
Okay. All right. So, couple things here. All right.
Straight cash, homie.
All right. I'll just leave that there. Straight cash, homie. I'm going to, squad members, if you want, I'm going to just drop this right here. Cash rules everything around me. Where's my Randy emote? There we go. Straight cash, homie. Okay. This isn't news. This is like a thinly veiled promotion. Here's the deal. Security Plus is a certification that we in the industry regularly tell people, hey, listen, you might want to get it simply because it's like an HR qualifier. The DoD 8570, if you go look at that, has Sec Plus as something that's required. There's certain certs that the U.S. government uses in order to like basically qualify staff for certain roles. Now, apparently, you know, the Department of Defense is looking to upscale or, you know, modernize their talent management situation. And the way that they've done it is through this 814003, DoD 814003. And they've identified 31 work roles for the DoD cyber workforce. Okay, very cool, right? So there's 31. It might even be worth going and look at this DoD 8140 just to see what the 31 roles are. So you can learn 31 different jobs that you could do in cybersecurity, right? Maybe find that role that really speaks to you. Now, CompTIA, you know. So CompTIA has 8 certifications that map into these 31 different roles, okay? Which basically means if you get one of these 8 certs, you can screen and get and pass into being evaluated for possibly being hired and stuff like that. Now, the reason I'm kind of poo-pooing this is because CompTIA is not free, right? Those certs aren't free. The training resources could be free in some situations, but many times they're not going to be free. You need to maintain the cert once you get it. That's not free. So this is... And again, I'm not dunking or dumping on CompTIA. Like, they're a business. You know, it's a thing. But to say, like, they support the DoD effort? No. There is somebody at CompTIA, probably a team of people at CompTIA, that are walking around double-fisted It looks like they're walking. You know, if you were to follow them at the beach, it would look like they were pushing a bicycle. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, right? Tripods. Like, somebody made bank on this, because now there's tons of people who are going to be going through CompTIA's feeding system to get these certs so they can get the job in the DOD. The DOD is going to be sending massive amounts of people to training to get these certs so they can be qualified to do cyber workforce roles. Again, I'm not crapping on them. It's just, to me, like, this is, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh. This feels like a commercial. Okay, so here's the DOD 8140. Thank you, mods. I think this was Casually Joseph who dropped us in chat. Yeah. Let's take a look here. All right. So IAT level 1, 2, and 3, this is basically the 8570. This is the 8570. What? How's this different than the 8570? Oh, it says 8570 on it. Okay. So check it out. Basically, this is even grosser, man. This is even grosser. The certs that CompTIA, these are the certs they already had. This mapping already existed. Whatever. All right. Way to go. Way to go. All right, here we go. All right, guys. If you were here just for the news, stay tuned, because I got some fun things for you. Okay, so Eric Taylor, I don't know if you guys want to do this, but basically, shout out to my son, Callan, who's actually at an award ceremony right now. I love being present for my kids. I basically am not at this award ceremony right now because I'm on a week-long work trip for this TV show. And I'm missing it right now, but I did call in right before the show started and told him how proud I am of him. And just shout out to my son for getting recognized for academic greatness. Way to go, Callan. Also, I have a meeting at 9:15, so I have a meeting in 12 minutes, so I will have to drop. But I want everybody to know, I don't know if you guys want to hang on or whatever, but Two Cyber Chicks is going live at 9:30 a.m. Their season 4, episode 6, is dropping. And it's a meeting with Troy Fine, Compliance Meme King. Guys, the Two Cyber Chicks podcast has been rolling all season long. It's been awesome. Erica McDuffie, Jack Scott, they're just crushing it. Super pumped that they came over to the Simply Cyber Media Group, and just loving collaborating with them. So I'm not sure the best way to do the handoff. It would be cool. I don't know if BSEC can come in for 15 minutes, but just to kind of like get people carried over to the Two Cyber Chicks. I'll drop a link in chat regardless. Here we go. Two Cyber Chicks. Like I said, I'll be in a meeting, so I won't be able to join, but I'll join late. There's the link to the Two Cyber Chicks meeting. All right, guys. If you were here just for the news, thank you very much. I'm not Simply Cyber. I'm Jerry Osier. I'm Ron Burgundy. No, I'm Jerry. This is episode 607 of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief, live on location in Vegas, while I'm continuing to grind through the show. Guys, I got to tell you, it Worldwide Wednesday. We straight crushed it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Jenna Powers coming in with the question. Jenna, also our first timer of the day. Welcome to the party, pal. I'm interested in CH. Is there a specific website I can utilize to practice on? You know, Jenna, I don't actually know. As far as I know, CEH doesn't actually have a practical component, meaning it's a multiple choice exam. So I don't know. What I would say, Jenna, is if you wanted to practice ethical hacking, penetration testing, go check out Try Hack Me, Hack the Box. Those are two great sites that can offer you opportunities. Also, Jenna, go on to the Simply Cyber YouTube channel. Look at the playlists. I have one called So You Want to Be a Pen Tester, and on that playlist I have a bunch of videos of different resources. TCM Academy is a great school for basically learning ethical hacking. TCMsecurity.com. in fact, yeah, let me just pull up Heath's website here. Yeah, the Cyber Mentor. Let me show you this really quickly, Jenna. Heath, this guy, Heath, he's a great community member. He's a great person. Let me see if I can find his playlist that can answer your question. Actually, you know what, Jenna? I'm just going to drop this link because it's really like choose your own adventure. I don't know what you want to do specifically. So, Jenna Powers, there we go. There we go. Hey, can I just also shout out really quickly? I got to spend part of my day yesterday with Eric Capuano and Whitney Champion and the crew from Lima Charlie. I love those people. They're such good people. We are so fortunate, guys. We are so fortunate right now that in our industry, there is just like a faction of people, many of you included, almost, you know, I would say, I would argue all of you included, that are just into support, inclusion, community, and it's freaking awesome. It's awesome. Strength in numbers. All right, Valentino. I was going to say congrats, but then realized how many possible spellings there were. Callan? Yes, actually, you know what? Valentino, you nailed it. C-A-L-L-A-N, Callan. Miss my family. Guys, here's another. Again, I've got to drop in 9 minutes. I will answer any questions that you drop in chat. Guys, hey, let me do this really quickly. Let me do this. I'll answer any questions in chat. Listen, I typically don't like to go on work trips at all, but I prefer to keep them to less than 3 days. And this one had to be like 8 days just because we're filming the entire season. And these are the things, man. Like I can't make up missing an award ceremony, and it sucks. But, you know, these are some of the sacrifices you make. Hey, Lazaro with the super chat. Thanks, Lazaro.
We just become best friends. Yep.
Thank you for all you do, Dr. Osier. Enjoying what I do each day. Currently learning threat intel and threat hunting. New tools, etc. I appreciate you. Hell yeah. Oh. Hey, guys, I want to share this with you. Oh, I'm so pumped. Thanks, Lazaro, for reminding me about this. Check this out, guys. On Simply Cyber's YouTube channel, hold on. On Simply Cyber's YouTube channel, check this out. Tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, I finally have that Flare video gonna drop. This is the Flare video. This threat intelligence platform is sick. What did I name this video? I named this video "Your Cyber Threat Intel Work Just Got an Easy Button." Okay, Lazaro. And everybody, like, if you've used Flare, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't used Flare, this video is going to drop on your head, and I think you're going to love it. Okay, what have you ate down there? So Soulshine, Soulshine's asked, what am I eating in Vegas? So a couple things, I'll tell you this. One, I'm not on the Strip, right? So I'm actually staying at like a Residence Inn Marriott, which has like a kitchen and stuff in it, because I'm basically living here for 8 days. So I ate an In-N-Out burger 2 nights ago for the first night dinner. My lunch is basically provided on set. Like they cater food so you don't have to leave. I ate at an In-N-Out burger. Shout out to Wading Through Logs, who's In-N-Out life. Pretty good. It was fresh food. And then last night I ate at a place in Town Square called Sickies. I basically posted up at the bar, had my laptop up. I worked for like an hour and a half. I have been working my butt off, okay? I had a couple beers, and then I took an Uber home. Also, fun fact, I just started using Uber for the first time. I know I'm a wicked old. I just started using Uber. Gotta tell you, I get it. I get why people like it. I got picked up in a Tesla. Frank was my driver. Frank was probably speeding, but I gave him 5 stars and a tip because he got me home lickety-split. So way to go, Uber. Tim McDonald, what streaming service is this going to be on? So Tim McDonald, initially, I believe it's going to be released on Night TV Plus, and there is discussion with other services, but I can't get into the details of that. I will tell you, all information that can be publicly made will be released. I'll share it all because I'm putting a ton of work into this. I would love to share it with the community. Flakinator, I have one. I got a company saying it wants to interview me via email, but they sent me a video link in a pre-scheduled time. Is it a scam? Well, Flakenator, I don't know if it's a scam, but my alarm bells would be, you know, my phasers would be set to stun Flakenator. Okay. What? Why did that just show up? What the hell? Did someone just put that in? Is someone in here with me? Oh, B-Sec's in here. You minx, B-Sec. Hold on one second. Let's do this. So Flakenator, it could be a scam. I hope it's not. Just be mindful. If you get even for a hot second weird vibes, get out of there. Okay. Politely. Okay. B-Sec, I'm pulled you on screen. Let's get me, hold on. Let me change my camera angle. So I can, do this really quickly. Shout out to, DJ B-Sec in the house. Oh wait, hold on. Oh, stupid. Hold on one second. Hold on. This is fine. Everything's fine. All right, whatever. Well, I'll just have chat screaming on my face too. So B-Sec, how are you, buddy?
I'm busy.
Very busy. You are busy. So just to qualify the Uber story, I have gotten in other people's Ubers. What I meant is I downloaded the app and I now use the app. I that's where I am with my adoption.
You're using it yourself. You're actually pulling it. Oh.
Yes, I'm a real boy now. So I got my sippy cup and I got my own Uber app. So that's what's up. So B-Sec, would you be willing to carry the stream for 15 minutes until Two Cyber Chicks starts at 9:30?
Yeah, that's why I jumped in. I literally just sat down here, so you said that, and I was like, all right, I'll jump in. For 15
yes, sir. See, this is what hashtag Team SC is. B-Sec, we just deployed him into the environment. It's like that Siemens Palo Alto story earlier. B-Sec is a prepackaged system integrated streamer, and you know you can just drop him into the environment, and he's off and running.
Yeah, it's like mod as a service.
I love it. So if you don't mind, let me just answer one more question and then I'll turn it over to you. Casually Joseph in chat, our resident Young. Have you ever read the book Ultra Learning by Scott Young? I found it useful for learning to learn better. Sounds redundant, but it's interesting. I haven't. B-Sec, you ever heard of Ultra Learning?
No, I haven't heard that one.
Hey, B-Sec, have you heard, you know the drug in the movie Limitless that Bradley Cooper turned into like a super brain? You ever seen the movie Limitless or heard of it?
Nope, I've not watched that one.
Oh, okay, so basically he takes a drug that like unlocks his brain so he can do like, you know, level 1000 IQ stuff. Apparently that drug, or not the drug itself, but like whatever in reality is, people are starting to put that into like smoothies and stuff. I don't know if anyone's using that, but B-Sec, can you bump your mic up too?
Yeah, I did. There we go.
Okay. Soulshine, final question for me, and then I'll flip it to B-Sec. What do Jerry do with his downtime? You got a hobby you didn't tell us about? I don't have a ton of downtime, but I will tell you, I've been very active in the Magic the Gathering arena space lately. So I'm into that. I kind of like different Netflix streaming services. I watched like the Three Body Problem recently, kind of getting into that. Actually, I'll tell you guys, and B-Sec, this is the final thing, and then I'm jumping out. I kind of have like a low-key secret fascination with YouTube channels that kind of academically break down movies. So like, it's like, this movie sucked because the cinematography, here's why. This movie was terrible because of editing, here's why. Like, I find it fascinating to look at the structure and meta of a movie. Like, a perfect example is Suicide Squad. Great movie, but it totally sucked. Why? Because the way it was edited was completely janky. And there's like movie breakdown. So anyways, I love that. B-Sec, thank you so very much.
If you weren't in cyber, then you would be Siskel and Ebert. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Or Bert and Ernie, depending, right? With my sippy cup.
With the sippy
cup. All right, I'm out of here. Chat, be good. Enjoy BSEC. BSEC, thank you so very much for continuing this. I'm Jerry. Your chat. We'll see you next time.
No problem. No problem. All right, I think I turned some music on here. Let me switch over so you guys can. There we go. All right, what do we got for questions? For about 14 minutes, and then we got the drop. I think I got the link. I've got a link over here somewhere. Where did it go? Let me copy this link so I've got it up. And that way I can post it in when we're gonna go live. All right, let me scroll down. I'm way past this. So where are we at with the questions? Anybody got anything big for this morning? So I'll tell y'all one of the reasons that my mic was so low. I'll give you a quick little story while we're waiting for questions to come in. Yesterday, I actually went into the office. While I was in the office, I saw that my home computer went offline, and I tried to figure out why. And when I got home, I found out that I had no lights. I had no power in my house. So thinking that we just had a power outage in the area, I figured that was, it is what it is. But the problem is the car that I took did not have a house key on it, so I was locked out of my house. Luckily for me, I've got family that lives close to where I'm at, so they actually brought me a key and I got into the house. And then while I'm inside, I realized I, of course, have no power. But as I look around the neighborhood, I see that everybody else has power, but for some reason, my house does not have power, which makes you go, uh-oh, B, it's like you didn't pay the bill. Which is the inevitable end of the story. But what actually had happened, was my credit card, this falls all back on cybersecurity and being secure with who you are and what you're doing. My credit card actually got stolen 6 months ago and I canceled it, and it ran for 6 months. The electricity company used it and then it failed last month. And when it failed, they didn't reach out and say, hey, your credit card didn't go through or your payment didn't go through. They just let it go. So in long story short, I ended up calling, finally get somebody on the phone, change my credit card number, and then I get my lights back on. And because of that, that's why all my stuff was jacked up. That's why my mic was dropped down low. Funny story. And thank God it was just a screw up with a credit card and not something bigger. Jess Bishop says, how are you? I'm doing, for the most part, I'm doing great. I'm very busy. We've got a lot of projects going on. But yeah, and other than losing power, I'm doing fine. Let's see. Is GRC good for someone with no IT background or tech experience? Zach Morris puts that in there. Yes, GRC can be great for somebody that's trying to break in. GRC, especially like doing auditing, it's a great way to learn. You can get policies, procedures. Basically what you're doing in the audits section is you are going through a company and you are looking at what they have in place, right? So do they have a policy around cybersecurity? Do they have a policy around MFA? Do they have a policy around whatever? And then you audit them. And what that teaches you is what companies are actually doing. And of course you get experience on what you should be doing in the cybersecurity realm. So yes, 100% Zach Morris. GRC is a great way to jump in without IT experience, because basically what you're doing is auditing policies, procedures, paperwork for the most part. Brown paper bag says, hey, BSEC, I want to join brown or yellow team. Any suggestions? Man, I have not looked at the color wheel. I don't remember what brown and yellow team is. Let me pull that up. There's so many freaking colors now. Let's see, security. Color wheel. I don't even see a brown on here. So I got yellow. Maybe you're thinking orange team? Yellow team is software coders and architects. I'm not sure what the brown, if anybody knows what brown team is, you can let me know. So if you're doing software coding and architecture that's going to be really big in the sense of understanding code, writing programs and so forth. So you've got to make sure that that you know coding in that sense. Let's see what So brown paper bag, to answer your question, I'm not sure what brown is, but yellow, you definitely will have to go out and learn coding. So you'll need to understand what Python is. You may need to learn C sharp. You're going to have to understand how to code and how to write code. After that, then at that point, what you're going to need to do is learn how to write secure code. Then you can audit code on the security side. You can audit code. Being an architect, you can make sure that the code is secure, running it through different DASTs, like dynamic analysis for code, or static analysis for code, to make sure that the code that is being put out for the program is actually secure. Let's see. Brown? What is brown? I don't see any brown. Maybe you're thinking orange. All right, next one. We got about 9 minutes left. I am going to try and volunteer for online experiences. Wonder what you think of that. More power to you, Carrie. Go volunteer. Get as much experience as you can as possible. I'm gonna try and hammer through these. We got a bunch coming in here. Tom Mahone, what would you consider a NOC, a network operations center? As the same as a... No. Okay. So Tom's asking, would I consider a NOC the same as a SOC? Not at all. In a network operations center, you're sitting there watching what's going on with the network. You're watching whether or not connections are up or down, speeds are what they should be. You're monitoring the network and its availability. In a SOC, you're ingesting everything that's coming in from endpoints, from servers, which is an endpoint, from throughout the whole aspect of the company. That's all coming in, should all be coming in into a SIM. And at that point, you're going through those logs to make sure that everything in there is good. Most of the time within those SIMs, you're going to have rules, YAR rules and so forth, that will pop up errors or pop up messages that come up and say, hey, so-and-so's computer may be infected with X, or it looks like there may be an issue over here. You're doing a lot of, I don't necessarily want to say research, but it is in that type of term, a research position, because you're always going through, you're looking and determining what's going on with the logs. So they're two completely separate things. So don't think of a NOC and a SOC as being the same. NOC is 100% network. SOC is straight up security. There might be a tiny bit of overlap, but that's about it. Rex Cognitions question. Do you, okay, let me see if, make sure this is moving. Okay. Question. Do movies based on video game canon stories suck, and why is the answer yes? I don't know. I don't know what that question means. I am not a big movie or video game buff. I am way up into just work at this point. Okay, we dumped the same question in twice. What did Alpha Sierra say? Okay, here it is. Alpha Sierra, do you think too many noobs to the industry are too focused on being the next zero cool? Maybe it would be better to think about... Let's see here. To answer that question from Alpha Sierra, do I think that there are too many noobs in the industry that are focused on being the next cool zero? I think a lot of people that get into security get into it because they see things that happen in movies. They think that there's some big cool thing. I mean, let's all be frank here, right? When Mr. Robot came out, it was the bee's knees, right? Everybody was needed to go into security, because Mr. Robot, when they actually wrote that, they did a very good job with that series to make sure that things that were on screen actually were things that were used within the cybersecurity realm or within the red team realm. So that made a lot of people go, ooh, I want to do this. What you don't get is you get the wow factor with that, but as a practitioner and somebody in there, what you don't get is the daily grind. There's a daily grind, and to be able to do what they do on TV or what they do, that takes years and years and years of experience to even understand that. Like if you're brand new to cybersecurity and you go watch, let's say you go watch Mr. Robot, can you actually pick out what they're typing in and what they're doing and what they're using? Do you even understand or know what's on there? Like with the Linux background, with the Kali background, they've got the things. So getting into cyber and just because it was a cool thing is totally different than what you're going to do day to day, the day to day grind. I think, especially where I'm at, because I'm down in oil country, OT security is massive, right? So you down here, we've got oil plants or refineries all over the place. So OT security is a big deal, and you can make some big money in oil, in OT. I actually know somebody that does OT for nuclear companies. And they go back, they travel back and forth across the United States, and they actually make enough money to have a house on the East Coast and on the West Coast. And that's because they travel so far, so much back and forth, that they need a house on this side and a house on the other side. It's crazy. Do I want mods? I don't know what that's asking, Jenny. Or that's not Jenny, that's Kimberly. I don't know what you're asking for that. Let's see. Don't know how. All right, Miss CY, we need to, I feel like you need to, you, we need to put you on a couch and we need to talk about this. Miss CY says, I'm starting to really hate everything about cybersecurity. I haven't even started yet. Let's unpack that a little bit. Why are you starting to hate everything about cybersecurity? Is it because it's a deep and busy industry? There's so much to do. There's a lot. Don't get frustrated with what's going on. Pinpoint what you want to do and where you want to go and work on that. And if you don't like that, there are so many other spots within cybersecurity that you can go to the next one. There's a lot to deal with it. And I will tell you, every single person that's a practitioner that does it day to day will have this, has the same feeling at some point in time. Even Jerry, who is gung-ho about cybersecurity, I can guarantee you there are days where he's like, oh God, I don't want to do this today. I can guarantee that that's everybody in every industry across the planet. You don't want to do what you've been tasked to do. So sit back, take a deep breath, go for a walk, come back, recuperate, right? All right, I've got, we got about 1 minute left. I'm going to drop this in. We got the Erica McDuffie and Jack Scott, Two Cyber Chicks, season 4. Let's see, a conversation with Troy Fine, Compliance Meme King. Let me put this in here. That's on here. I know that there are tons and tons of questions, and we are gonna jump over into watching this. If I didn't answer your question today, I'll be back tomorrow. After the daily cyber threat, throw it in there, and then I will get them tomorrow. I know today was a little short, but we do need to hop over and go watch the premiere, which is about to start, of Erica McDuffie and Jack Scott for Two Cyber Chicks, season 4, a conversation with Troy Fine. I am out of here for today. Thank you all for the questions. I know this was a quick session, but I will be back tomorrow. Let me do this outro, and then let's go jump over there. We added a whole bunch of different outros in here. Where'd everything go? Oh, here we go. All right. See everybody tomorrow. Bye.
content. Keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single weekday morning on the Simply Cyber channel, we're doing live daily cyber threat briefings, 8 a.m. Eastern time, as well as Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're doing live stream interviews with industry experts, and we produce videos that we push out every Wednesday morning. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I hope you enjoyed the content, and we'll see you in the next one.